a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. After this, what? My message centers around two Bible words, after this. Many have wrecked their businesses, their bodies, their characters, and their souls because they persisted in being so nearsighted they did not, and often they would not, consider the fact that everything has its after this. A man kidnapped a baby. That was easy enough. But then, what was he going to do? When he faced the after this, he abandoned the baby and fled justice the rest of his life. The young girl, in her folly, thinks only of the thrill of lust and forgets its certain and awful harvest, the after this. The young father leaves his first love and children and runs off with another woman. And then one day, he faces the sentence of an infuriated judge. He forgot to reckon with the after this. People are so bent on present desires or vain ambitions or passing pleasures that they shut their eyes to the after this, only to find that they must face the inevitable. The Bible says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Death seems like a big terminal, an end, a stop, but it is not. There is death, and then after this, death does not end at all. Some think that death will relieve them of their retribution for their wickedness against God and men. But after death, God will bring them into judgment, and men shall arise in the judgment and testify against them. God's after this is an inescapable certainty. That is why the Bible says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." You cannot escape it. For all these things God will bring thee into judgment. You may outwit the detectives, outrun the police, out-argue the court, and out-bluff the public, and think yourself smart, but there is still the after this. Neighbors, sooner or later, God will get you, and you will face the harvest of your wicked sowing, the after this. Please listen carefully as I trace for you the Bible revelation of the after death for those out of Christ without a Savior. A life of sin and selfishness ends in a hopeless death. The body is buried, awaiting the resurrection of damnation. The person, that is the soul and spirit, goes into the tormenting flames of hellfire, and there remains with no rest, no water, no light, no air, and no hope, wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. But that is not all. There is an after this, the judgment. And the great white throne of judgment will be set, and the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected as a Savior, shall be met as judge. He will call that body from the elements. At his voice the grave shall deliver up its prey, and that body shall come forth. You live for your bodily desires. It had part in your sins. And the final reckoning, it must share your doom and punishment. And your soul shall be called out of hellfire, for death and hell will deliver up the dead in them, as the Bible says, in the day of judgment. Then your whole being, body, soul, and spirit, will be reunited to face the judgment. Nor will the judgment end all, for from the judgment your whole being shall be cast into the lake of fire, everlasting fire. All these are Bible revelations of the ungodly, step by step, as they go on and on toward that unending eternity of the wrath of the sin-hating God, whose mercies they abused, whose love they spurned, and whose judgment they scorned, and whose wrath they defied. But why does the verse say, as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment? Some think that this means that the judgment immediately follows death. That is an error, for it does not. If it did, the judgment would be continually going on as people die. Men will not be judged until the end of all the wicked lives, and then, when the full harvest is in, God will judge the one who sowed the seed. The judge does not sentence the man who struck the match that burned the homes and woods until the first full cost is in. Wicked infidels have been in hellfire for centuries, but have not yet been judged. When the full result of their wicked writings and influence is all totaled, then they will face the judgment. Some say, God wouldn't put one in hell before he is judged. Is there anything strange about this? Does not this happen every day? When the officers catch the bank robbers, do they turn them loose until the day of court? No, they put them in jail awaiting their judgment. God has already judged every man and declared him a guilty sinner and condemned already. And if he so dies, he is kept in the prison of hell awaiting the day of judgment. But why does the verse single out the judgment out of all men's experiences after death? It is this: nothing, oh hear me, nothing, no nothing, not even hellfire shall be as terrible as that judgment for the ungodly to face. I tell you, if they could stay in hellfire or leap from hell to the lake of fire, they would gladly do it, but they cannot. They must go to the court. They must face the judgment. At this point in my message, let us listen to the apostle of love, the beloved apostle John. Brother John, we have heard that when you were banished on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord Jesus appeared to you and he showed you the final judgment of the wicked. Please tell us what it was like. Listen as John the apostle tells what he saw, and may you and I see it too. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who is the judge? He is God. And yet you will see a man in a real human body. You will need no angel to tell you. He is Jesus, who so tenderly called you to him that you might have life and rest and peace. But you turned him down. What for? You know. And now he has spoken and called your body out of its grave and your soul out of hell. You see case after case called up. On earth you thought yourself better than others. But as you see them judged, your conscience is stirred and it speaks, you've done worse than that one. And who had more gospel light than you? You sweat great drops of blood in dread of what is ahead for you. And then your name rings out. Your case is called. From God's record books, your evils are recalled. God put your tape on his machine, and your very voice is heard in that great court. Your dirty jokes, your lies, your idle words, and your blasphemies. And then, on God's screen, your life's history plays. Every dark corner of it is brought to light, for during all your life, God has had his movie camera on you. You cry, oh, rocks fall on me, I can't take it, I can't take it. Oh, hellfire, receive me back, I cannot stand this anymore. And then God will make manifest your very thoughts, ambitions, imaginations, and desires, and God shall pronounce the divine punishment for every act of sin, every word of sin, and every thought of sin. In agony you will curse the day you were born and wish you could be annihilated. Then comes the final ordeal, the worst of all. As the Lord Jesus Christ opens a book, it is not a church roll or a lodge membership, but the book of life. Each page is scanned, then it is closed. Your name is not there. The question is, why is your name not there? You know, but you're dumbfounded. Your guilt is unbearable. God speaks. I told you of your sins. I gave you a conscience that you might feel your guilt. And I even sent my Holy Spirit to convict you of your sins as I called upon you to repent that I might show you mercy. But in your rebellion and pride, you resisted the Holy Spirit and you would not repent. I wanted to save you, but you turned me down. You told me to go and leave you alone, for you wanted to live the way you wanted. Then you will see your Christian relative, your Christian neighbor, the Sunday school teacher, the pastor, the tract distributor, and the evangelist all arise and tell how their hearts were burned to reach you and how they tried. But you know what you did. Oh, how the memory of all this haunts you. Then the final verdict will be passed. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And as the verdict goes forth, your Christian relatives and neighbors shall all arise, and with the angels and all created intelligence shall say, God is just. He deserves it. Now do you wonder that the Bible singles out the judgment as the most distressful experience of all eternity for the ungodly? As I speak to you, I tremble as I think of all this, for I deserved it too, and just as much as any of you. But my Lord Jesus Christ suffered what I deserved on Calvary's cross, and he has saved me as I trusted him to be my Lord and Savior in life, in death, and after death. Neighbor, he will save you too. If you will right now repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord to obey and your Savior to trust, do it now, right now. Don't let this day end without getting right with God and knowing you'll never face that awful after this of the judgment. May God grant it. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant David Brinkman.